This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, what a Monday this is going to be for you. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, what is up is what is down each week in the NFL. And what we saw again is what I think the NFL is going to celebrate, parity across the league. Four first-place teams lose yesterday, two in each conference, and now you see Buffalo lose a game like that's if you talk about a game that was so predictable, it was that one. Like, that's the one where you thought, man, the Colts are coming in, Vegas disrespecting them with the seven-point spread, and a game that would have been won in the trenches. There's so many different games to get here. And don't forget, we got tonight, Monday Night Football, another first-place team, the Bucs. And they're playing against the New York Giants. So, man, we got a lot to get to. Let's get right to it. And let me ask you straight up off one of these games, as we'll call this Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Kansas City beating Dallas. Is that about Kansas City or is it about Dallas?
To me, I think it's more about Dallas and where they were in the situation which they've been put themselves into. When you think about no Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb goes down, Ezekiel Elliott gets hurt, no Tyron Smith. Now, you got to tip your cap to Kansas City because that's still Dak Prescott back there, and he should still be able to manufacture a point. But when I look on the other side of what the Dallas Cowboys was able to do defensively against Kansas City, I'm not so much sold that they're back, right? But this is the thing. You beat who's on your schedule, and they've just been happy. You know, they've been having good luck as of late. They didn't have to play Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. They didn't have to play they didn't have to play the Giants with anybody. So, listen, sometimes you get a stroke of good luck, but don't fool yourself and think it's fool's gold that these guys are some defensive, like they stopped one of the top offensive outfits in the league because Kansas City, you know, was able to play a certain way. Chris Jones had himself a day. But a lot of that is because the Dallas Cowboys had to throw the ball and not run the ball and exploit that weak, soft middle of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you tip your cap off, but – you know, you look at what's going on, they could go into the playoffs, and I think they'll make the playoffs. I think everybody can agree with that. But I wouldn't crown this team as backing as a legitimate threat to beat anybody.
Their defense in this four-game winning streak has held opponents to under 17 points or fewer. It's that's what you said. You used the phrase fool's gold, and I'm wondering if that's what it is with Kansas City, right? Like, is it fool's gold? Are we buying it because they have that past demonstrated performance? We've seen it from Mahomes. We've seen it from the Chiefs. They've been an elite team in the league. And you're just saying that they're getting lucky because they're facing opponents who aren't really at 100%. But can this for a team, though, regardless of you'll find reasons each opponent was missing some element that they weren't at full capacity and it allowed the Chiefs to take advantage of it. But when you have a team that's got a history of winning and success and being elite, can't that, though, start putting that belief into the mindset of the Chiefs?
Of course, they're
now riding this thing like, all right, like, we're good. We don't have the same issues we had early in the season. And that makes them formidable just because of that confidence.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back. And listen, the fact that you can lie to yourself, right? And it's important that coaches lie to them, right? We figured it out. We plan at a high level, right? But you know that they're not going against – as a coach, you know, like, hey, I better have this game plan tight. I mean, because you think if they played Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers the way that Aaron Rodgers planned, now I know yesterday that they took it on the chin, but I told you about that too with non-prime time Kirk Cousins. But then, you know, we know what the Las Vegas Raiders are going through. And then you get the Dallas Cowboys – you know, happen to fight left-handed. You know, I think their next real test would be the Raiders. I think the Raiders will try and fight for something. And, you know, they've been able to go to Arrowhead. But then the Chargers is really their only last test. The Bengals is a test for them. But, you know, their schedule going down the stretch is going to be soft. And, listen, they can get confidence and they can do everything that they want to do. But until this offense shows me that they're back and they're elite, teams can't slow them down, I'm not convinced at all, because if they're going to win, they're going to have to win because their offense is good, because we know that defense is not good. I mean, they beat the Giants with nobody, 20-17. They beat the Green Bay Packers, right, 13-7. I mean, come on, man. Like, And they beat the Dallas Cowboys with nobody, 19-9. Like, so I'm not convinced, but everybody that's a Chiefs apologist will say, hey, they're back. Maybe they are. I'm just not convinced yet. I need to see more. Charles Edwards-Helaire coming back another element that they can try and rush the ball because he's a dual-threat guy that can catch the ball, that can run the ball in between the tackles. But it remains to be seen. It's going to be interesting, man, because that's the theme of the NFL. It's not who you play, it's when you play them, right? You talk about people, you know, going on a COVID list, protocol, all these different things, and teams just having lapses in judgment. And when you look at it now, the team that you, you know, kind of trust and the team that you believe, like now it's the New England Patriots, because when you look at the other game that was within a division, yes. You look at how Buffalo struggles against teams that are physical in the trenches and have good offensive line. They can't – listen, they can't stop anybody that way because the Buffalo Bills built their team to beat who? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
The Kansas City Chiefs doesn't run the ball. So you got guys like Ed Oliver in the middle. You don't have Star Latulé in the middle. So now you're soft up the middle, and people keep Josh Allen off the field by just running the ball and bludgeoning him to death. I told you that if the Colts get into the playoffs, they're the most dangerous team that can be there because they have a good quarterback. They have maybe the MVP of the league. We might have to start saying Jonathan Taylor after he went for 5 touchdowns. Damn. Also first running back to 1,000. Now, I know King Henry may come back, but is King Henry going to be King Henry? And do you trust the fact that Julio is going to be available on the outside to get that light box? A.J. Brown gets dinged up. If the Indianapolis Colts get in the postseason, they are going to be a dangerous out because not only do they can they throw Jonathan Taylor at you, they can throw Himes at you as well. Oh, and they still have Marlon Mack who barely dresses. They can run the ball downhill with guys that are fresh over and over and over again, and that Colts offensive line is dominant.
Yes, and that's where you win. We get the cold weather season, Bart, as you know. That's where you win. That's why this – it's so funny, too, right? When you look at the league and you look at the teams that we've been talking the most about, it really is the Colts that we haven't talked much about other than the Carson Wentz stuff early on in the season. But there they are. They're still outside the playoff picture. But they're 6-5, and they are trending up, and they're getting closer and closer to being in the conversation as a playoff team. And when they get there, the way they're built, you got to feel like don't overlook this team. We want you to be part of Bart and Hunt Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for all of your Overreaction Monday comments, takes, and whatnot. Questions as well about what you saw in Week 11 of the NFL. It's still one more game to go tonight, the Bucs and the Giants. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Well, you mentioned it, of course, Jonathan Taylor's performance and the Colts going into Buffalo. And Jonathan Taylor talked about this matchup knowing they are on the outside looking in. But the atmosphere up in Buffalo made him feel like it was a playoff game. Now, you love playing in those kind of environments when you win. But Bart, the other side of this story is, as you mentioned, the team in the division. You said the Patriots and how all of a sudden where they are. Well, the Bills, they're in one now, man. They are in one now. That the objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, right?
Yeah.
And that would be the Patriots, who are no longer in the mirror. They are no longer looking behind. They're not chasing anymore. And if you are the Bills, I don't know. Urgency, what is the word you use for this team? One thing, though, Josh Allen wouldn't say is it's not time to panic.
The problem is they have no balance. And what happens when you throw the football as much as they do, it stops the clock and it automatically allows the opposing team in. And here's why they're in trouble. You think about the two tough losses they had. They lost to Tennessee because Tennessee bludgeoned them to death. Then they lost to the Colts because they bludgeoned them to death. Then they got to play the Patriots twice. And they can have the ability to bludgeon them to death and make it an ugly game. So that means they got to try and go to the Wizard of Oz and get some courage and some heart and figure out, hey, maybe we can't stop guys straight up because we're weak in the middle. We got to try and slant and blitz. And, yeah, you know, they're the number one defense in the league, but they're the number one defense in pretty much because of their pass defense, not because of their rush defense. And now teams are figuring out, oh, we can rush the football against them. Listen, I tell people all the time, it's about matchups and style make fights. And this is the problem with the Buffalo Bills and their journey to try and go to the Super Bowl. It's four teams that potentially are going to make the tournament that do what is their kryptonite. The Baltimore Ravens rush the ball downhill, physical. That could be their kryptonite. The Tennessee Titans run the ball downhill and bludgeon them to death. That can be their kryptonite. The New England Patriots can bludgeon them. So this is the problem. They need somebody to beat somebody that they can't beat. And I said this to Rex the other day on Organized Chaos, right? I said the Pittsburgh Steelers knew that if they went against a team like us, whether it's the Jets or the Ravens, they had opportunity to beat us, right? Because how they play and how we play. But they knew for a fact that they needed either the Ravens or the Jets to beat the Patriots, because the way that they played, their style can never beat the Patriots, because they always put their linebackers on the field and Bill Belichick would spread those linebackers out and exploit them over and over again. So that reminds me of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills need somebody to beat Tennessee or need somebody to knock the Patriots off, right? So if the Patriots win, they need somebody like the Ravens who can beat them with that style that they play to beat them, because they are built to beat the finesse teams within that division. They're built to dominate Kansas City. They're built to beat the Chargers. They're not beat to get in a phone booth and duke it out. Because on the defensive side of the ball, they can't play big boy ball. And on the offensive side of the ball, they don't run the ball. They can't play big boy ball.
It's amazing to think that the Bills, who seem to have the division locked up early in the season, when you looked at them and then you saw Patriots have a rookie quarterback, and now how things have flipped. And you think about it now, what's coming up? Because they lost to the Jaguars, which was that first time.
That's the slip up that hurt them. That's the slip up that hurt them. You can't have those lacks of focus.
No, that's what I mean. That opens the door, and you just can't afford a game like that. And they had it. Then they come back and they smack the Jets, and it was sort of that, okay, we're back. We reestablish ourselves as a dominant team. But this game at home, giving up 41?
Yep.
41 in your building? Like, that's bad. Now you go to New Orleans. Now, then, of course, as we know, it gets real, because then you see the Patriots for the first time in, what, 4 weeks? You're going to see them twice in four
exactly.
weeks span.
And listen,
in that time, though, Bart, they play the Bucs and they play the Panthers, and then they play the Patriots again. This is a dicey time now in the schedule for them. And that Jacksonville game, as you said, that slip up, I'm telling you, we're going to go back to November 7th. And we're gonna recall that when the season's over and the Bills are playing for a wild card spot, yep. instead of winning the division like we thought they should this year, and that's gonna start open up questions about them and how they're built.
So this is the issue, right? Remember how we always laugh sometimes because we're in New York, we talk about baseball. Yeah. Remember how we was talking about how Tampa Bay always the Rays always beat the Orioles,
yeah.
and how the Yankees were losing to the Orioles, and that was the difference. And being able to compete for the division. Well, guess what? The Patriots struggled just a little bit against the Texans, but they found a way to win it, right? They found themselves in a slugfest, but they won. They beat the Jets every time, no matter what. They beat the bad teams, right? They beat Carolina. So the difference is going to be can the Bills beat Tampa, which they can, because Tampa is not Tampa, and Tampa, they can win a shootout against Tampa. So I don't worry about Tampa. And on the other end, you know, I think about, you know, what happens when the Bills have to play when the Patriots have to play the Titans, because that's going to be a real game, right? But they may be getting the Titans right where they want them.
And this is where I want to ask you now, as we'll move on to the next game. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Week 11 NFL has been exactly how this whole season has been. It is completely flipped. Every time you think you're starting to believe in a team, something happens. And it always seems to be this. Like, it's so funny how the Bengals were hot, they lose, they get smoked by the Jets. Right? We just saw Jacksonville, as we talked about. Jacksonville knocking off the Bills. Man, the Texans, like that for the Titans was a ninth win. Like, put it in Sharpie. Like, put it in Sharpie. What the hell happened in that game, Bart? How do the Titans even explain that? Ryan Tannehill, four interceptions. You can't just say, well, they're without Derrick Henry. They have been playing that big boy football you talk about, even without him. And now you're going to lose to the Houston Texans. Tyrod Taylor goes Superman into the end zone? Can you explain that? Or is that, again, just what this season has been for us, where at any moment a bad team is going to knock off a good team for whatever reason?
Yeah, when you talk about the Texans, they have nothing to lose. The Texans have been in so many of their football games. Remember, they took the Patriots to the wire, right? They took the Patriots to the wire. This is a team that plays hard. They play hard, and don't think that they don't have some talent on their team. They still have David Johnson. They still have Brandon Cooks. Man, they have players, right? No. I know that. But if you're going to give them four opportunities, you're going to lose the football game. Right? You can say, okay, well, Tyrod Taylor only threw for 107 yards. You only got to throw for 107 yards when you got four extra possessions, right? And those possessions are in a position where you can put points on the board. And Ryan Tannehill, whenever you see a stat line, you know, with Ryan Tannehill throwing the football 52 times, you know you're in trouble. 52 times, you know you're in trouble. His number should be something like 31-25, right, with the way that they like to play football. And this is the problem, right? One, whenever you play somebody within your division, they're always going to give you everything that they got, right? And you can't just come out there and think you can put a day in. And they were feeling themselves thinking they can put a day in, and now they put themselves in position where they may be a team that they may be a team that could have had an opportunity to be the number one seed in the AFC and get the bye, which could allow King Henry the opportunity to come back. To now, a team is going to have to play week one, and maybe King Henry's not available, and they draw a bad matchup because the Colts are coming. They can say whatever they want.
I agree.
The Colts are coming, and when you look at it, listen, they can lose. They can lose to the Patriots, right? The Titans can lose to the Patriots, and then what? Now they're 8-4.
Wait. Why is it when I said that I wasn't sure I trusted the Titans, everybody was looking at me like I was crazy? It's not the same as the Steelers 11-0 start last year with none of that. That seems so fugazi. But I kept looking at the Titans like, how are they 8-2?
With their defense as well. They've been running the hell out of the ball, and like the issue is that defense has started playing very, very well. And mm-hmm. you're like, well, this defense is playing well, but then the defense still gave up 22 points, right? So now they can lose two in a row.
Yeah.
But the thing for them is they got Jacksonville. They got Pittsburgh, which I don't know if they'll be able to bully Pittsburgh. The problem is Julio Jones has not been healthy, right? But they finished
with a huge addition, and it hasn't really. But again, as you mentioned, Tannehill, when you're relying on his arm, that's when things get dicey. He's had a really nice career since he left Miami,
right?
But it's been more about he doesn't have to
play
do
action
too
pass,
much.
Throw the ball down the field, and if you're not running the ball, there's no play action, so everybody's going to. Yeah, especially without Julio Jones. A.J. Brown got dinged up too. He took one to the shoulder. I don't even know if he finished the game. So now you look at it, right? Week 12, they got the Patriots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Win, loss, who knows? But they have Jacksonville and they have the Texans left. They should beat them. But, you know, the San Francisco 49ers is another team that are starting to play really, really well.
Yes.
They're starting to run the football really, really well. Pittsburgh, you can't overlook Pittsburgh because that defense – and that defense can get at you. I know Ben, you know, was in one of the most exciting games yesterday with how that game ended.
Well, that's what I mean. We've got so many games to get to. We haven't even mentioned the Vikings-Packers game that Bart Stradamus nailed it.
Yeah, Bart Stradamus got two games that nobody thought that was going to happen. That
was
Minnesota, and that was the Colts.
Absolutely nailed that one. We have that. And then, of course, the Sunday night game, if you went to sleep,
and I did.
You missed a lot. What a wild ending, too. So many games to get to. We also have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And then, also, we've got to get to this. By the way, this is all Straight Talk, right? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. But, man, I know we have a lot of NFL to get to, Bart, but something happened in your hometown last night of Detroit.
Yeah.
In the NBA that is already starting a debate about whether or not the most popular player in the NBA, the King, should be suspended for his actions, and would the NBA actually do it as he heads to New York for a nationally televised game? Does LeBron James deserve a suspension for what happened last night in Detroit? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we got calls and more to get to as well. But before we do all that, let me tell you about SelectQuote. All right, it's the kickoff to the holidays with Thanksgiving this week. And this time of year always makes me extra thankful, especially, of course, for my family. And now's the perfect time to protect that beautiful family. So, if you don't yet have life insurance, listen to me. Because just a couple minutes out of your day can make a big difference. You don't want just any company for your life insurance. You need a pro. You need SelectQuote. For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. Check this out. SelectQuote has found a 40-year-old guy with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's right. Just $19 a month. Seriously. There's nothing to be able to protect. That's nothing to be able to protect your family. $19 a month? Nothing. Plus, quotes at SelectQuote, they're free and take only minutes. All right, do me a favor. Before the holidays get crazy, just take a couple minutes and get your free quote. Call 800-960-3030. 800-960-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on sample policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available, though, in all states.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. All right, Bart, we'll get to the calls on the NFL. We'll continue off sort of the conversation on the NFL, what a wild day it was yesterday, again in the league. But something happened last night, Bart, in the NBA that has really been the talk of the sports world. Last night, today, a lot of debates about what should happen after this, and then, of course, what the league should do about an incident that started with LeBron James and so the Lakers are playing the Pistons in Detroit. Everybody wants to say, oh, another Malice in the Palace. Like, first of all, the Palace doesn't even exist anymore.
Right.
You know, so let's not even bring that up. Second of all, it was instigated by LeBron and a free throw. And they, again, Lakers not playing well. The Pistons are not good, and yet the Lakers were losing to them.
Right.
With LeBron back in the lineup. And LeBron is holding on to, or I should say, Isaiah Stewart, a forward for the Pistons, was, you know, just holding, and it's typical stuff, holding on to LeBron after a free throw as a way, you know, he's going for a rebound. And LeBron swings his, he has a closed fist, swings his hand at him as if to, like, try to knock his hand off from holding him from going for the rebound. And he makes contact, inadvertent, more than likely inadvertent, with Isaiah Stewart's face, and he's bloodied by it. And it seemed like, all right, the incident might have stopped right there. But Stewart then got into LeBron's face. They had a conversation. Then all of a sudden, it escalated, as, of course, Ron Burgundy once said, escalated quickly. And now you wonder. Now, what happened was Stewart really got fired up. I mean, he had to be restrained three times. Yeah. Each time they let go, he went for him again. Like, it really was it was an intense moment. And LeBron got out of there fast. Like, he had words with him, and then he got out of there. So some people are saying, well, he got a flagrant two. He got ejected because of the hit, of the punch. And normally that's a fine, of course, and then normally that would be enough. But there are a lot of conversations today that LeBron should get suspended at least one game for this. You know Isaiah Stewart's getting suspended. That's a given. But LeBron plays at Madison Square Garden, his only appearance at the Garden, Tuesday night, and it's on TNT. It's on a nationally televised game. And there's a lot of people that say, is the league really going to take him out of this game? The league's really going to suspend him for this game? And I'm saying, Bart, they have to. I'm saying they have to, because they're allowing the league, because of calling less fouls, the game's getting physical again. I think this is what the people want. We'll get away from flopping and load management and back to an NBA where you got to man up if you're going to the basket. You got to play this game tough. But there are players who aren't comfortable with this. And as a result, you're seeing what happened with Miles Turner and Rudy Gobert. You know, you're seeing incidents with Markieff Morris and Nikola Jokic. And now you're seeing an incident with LeBron James, yet another star, and Isaiah Stewart. So, Bart, I'm saying if I'm the league, you have two choices. Start calling fouls again on every ticky-tack thing and slow the game down because the players clearly can't handle the physicality, or just continue to make an example of guys who react the way they do, like LeBron did. Even if it's LeBron James, you set that tone no matter who you are. You cannot close your hand and strike an opposing player and get away with it.
In the face, right? Whether it's incidental or not. Like, you talk about the fact that, oh, he apologized and he was apologetic.
Yeah, he said my bad right away.
Yeah, my bad don't matter. It was your bad when you decided to hit me in the face and swing your closed fist back at my eye or whatever you thought, whether you saw it or not, because you didn't like the way I was trying to be aggressive and going for a rebound. Right. So, like, listen, you can't, you know, and it's kind of like when guys hit people in the head in football and it's like, oh, man, I didn't mean to do it. But then that's targeting. That's a foul. Right. LeBron should be held accountable for what he did. And listen, whether he meant to do it or not, he meant to hit him in the face or he meant to hit him with a closed fist because he closed the fist. He didn't mean to. I wouldn't say he meant to cut him open. And now he's apologetic because he sees the blood, and the blood can't be denied that he hit him with force if somebody's eye is bleeding and busted open, right? So, like, don't try and say you're sorry. He has to get suspended because whether he meant to do it or not, look at the result of what he did. You know, no different from when Karl Malone threw the elbow at Isaiah Thomas, right? I don't think he meant to cut Isaiah Thomas where he had to get 50 stitches in his eye, right? But he did it. So you got to pay the consequences of what you did because you knew when you were throwing that fist, just like Karl Malone knew when he was throwing that elbow, that it could do damage. And he did it out of spite. He didn't do it out of, oh, I was just trying to get there. He did it out of anger because he was agitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, listen, I know people are going to have an opinion on this. This has been a hot topic, really, since last night, since it's happened. Spartan Han, Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. And you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. All in America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. You want to go to the calls, Bar? You want
to
hear from the people today?
Let's
do this, man. The Dr. Pepper call-in line. We begin with Baritone in Queens. Baritone, with a name like that, you better have a deep voice.
Hi, guys.
Can we get Baritone up? All right, he's not there anymore, so we go to Brandon in Reno. Brandon, let me ask you a question. Would David Stern suspend him? What do you think, Bart? Thanks, Brandon.
I think, listen, at this point, like, you have to send a message, right? Or this is going to get out of hand.
Well, like, think about it from the NFL perspective, right? There was a lot of stuff going on recently, and that's why they're calling taunting stuff. It's the same thing. I don't want the NBA to say, all right, well, clearly the players are easily agitated by physicality, and so we're going to have to now start calling it tighter again. I mean, the games are tougher. You're seeing everybody complain about getting hit. And you're seeing a couple of incidents already. We're not even 20 games into the season. We have three incidents where players, like, got physical with each other.
Well, they have to.
I'm all right with it.
They still have to be a professional, right? It's a big thing between trying to get somebody a bow or foul them hard and actually punching them in the face. You know, that you should be able to do both. You should be able to handle the physicality. Like, is this what we're talking about? I thought we said that LeBron James was the player that can play in any era, that he was built to play in the 90s and 80s, and he can play the physicality. So now you got to throw a punch because somebody's trying to fight through a double team, and it took two of y'all to stop him because the dude's just an animal. He's a high-energy guy, right? He's a guy that's going to fight and scrap for everything. He's a guy you want on your team, and you're agitated because how dare you do that to me on LeBron James? Back off. Get off me, you peasant. That's basically how he did it. Basically, like, how dare you? And then how dare you run after me?
Did you find that, like, that was a bit disrespectful, right? And I'm telling you right now, I know LeBron is revered. He is well-respected, as he should be. But you also need to know that in NBA circles, among players, He's not beloved. There are players.
Like Chris Paul is beloved.
There are players in the league that look at LeBron and they think, like you just used the word peasants. They look, they feel like LeBron does treat you as such sometimes. He talks down to you. He'll be very patronizing. Young players, oh yeah, he'll bring them aside. He'll give them advice and all that stuff. But there are guys out there in the league that kind of feel like he's always got something to say about what we should do, and it's only really for him. It's self-serving for him, but not really for everybody. You know, there's been times he's spoken up about things where a lot of players were like, man, tell this guy to, like, mute this guy.
Exactly.
Like, on conference calls. Like, I can tell you, there are players that have told me that they've heard him speak up and try to be a voice of leadership for players, and it's players who literally say, mute this dude. So that's why a moment like that, I wonder if how many players side with LeBron and how many players side with Isaiah Stewart and say, man, I wish he would have caught him. I wish he would have gotten to him, because that would have been something to see. All right, more of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. We'll get more of your reaction to this, what the league should do with LeBron, and what do you think they'll end up doing? Remember, nationally televised game is his next game with the Lakers in New York, Madison Square Garden on TNT. Do they really make him sit? Do they really have him sit out this game? All right, more calls coming up. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. All right, Bart, so let's do what we like to do each week. You know, we look at franchises, we look at teams as stock, right? And sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. Let's go through the AFC right now, after what we saw through Week 11, and ask that question. Who are you buying and who are you selling? You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start with the Titans, who we were all in on. Ready to buy, hold on to it, let it mature, all that stuff. And then we watch them lose to the Texans, man. Are you buying or are you selling the Texans now instead of being 9-2 at 8-3?
I mean, I'm buying them, right? They lost to the Texans and they lost to the Jets, right? You know, two bad losses, and that tells me that they're not mature. It's a lack of focus. But I'm believing in them, especially if they get King Henry back. Julio Jones will come back healthy in a couple of weeks. I'm buying them for sure.
Okay, you're buying the Titans, you're staying with them, you believe in them, so you're going to hold on to it even though you had a little bit of a dip, you lost some money this week, but you believe it's going to be trending back up again. Fine. How about then this stock, Buffalo Bills, after getting smoked at home by the Colts?
I mean, it's too much talent, right? This is a team that has proven that they can at least get past the first round of the postseason. They're a team that loses focus as well, but they're a good team. They're a well-coached team. They're a team that's been together, an outfit that's been together. We did call them last week the number one defense in the league just because they got the ball ran down their throat. Doesn't mean that they automatically go to the 15th best defense. So, okay. Listen, they're going to have to go to the Wizard, get some courage, get some heart, and understand that this is how teams are going to play you. Instead of having those two high safeties, they're going to have to drop that eighth man in the box and play big boy ball.
All right, so with that, we flip it. How about the Indianapolis Colts, who have not yet – they're not in the picture when it comes to playoffs, but they seem like a stock on the rise, Bart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
buying or selling?
Listen, I'm buying Carson Wentz. I bought him before the season. You know, he had the hurt ankles. This is a team that does play football the right way. You talk about a great offensive line. You can pack that wherever you go. That's an outfit that can go anywhere. A run game, T.Y. Hilton coming back. They still got Pittman. I'm buying them. They you know, maybe you worry about their secondary a little bit, but they have one of the best defensive players in Darius Leonard. They got Quiddy Pay, who's a guy that's played at a high level. Buckner in the middle that they traded for and gave a first-round draft pick. They have enough players to be successful. I'm buying them.
What is an outfit that travels? What's an outfit that you can wear anywhere? Give me an idea of something that you would pack, knowing I could wear this no matter what.
Oh, man. Well, you talk about a cashmere silk hoodie.
I guess you're right.
Because you can get warm. It can be dressed up, and you can wear it on the beach in the sand, or you can put a T-shirt underneath it, nice tight T-shirt underneath, and you can wear it in the wintertime. It could be a
cashmere
coat.
Hoodie at the beach?
Silk hoodie, remember? Like the orange one I got.
I understand. Yeah, I was just curious what you would consider that. It's very flexible, isn't it? Yeah, I got you. All right, buy or sell. Let me give you one more team. the Steelers. And, man, what happened last night was just crazy.
That's tough,
buy or
man.
Sell them.
I'm going to have to sell the Steelers, man. I just think that, you know, it's tough because I believe in that defense. T.J. Watt's too often hurt. Micah Fitzpatrick wasn't there yesterday. And it shows, right? You know, they in a barn burner. And I just think in the AFC, even within their division, the Cincinnati Bengals, whatever you want to call them, could be coming on strong late, and they're healthy and young. And the Steelers are old and brittle.
Maybe over for them, but it's not over for us. We are back in 10 seconds. Barton Hahn, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Our good friend Chris Mortensen going to join us in just about 10 minutes. Get back into the NFL. But we do have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on what should happen with LeBron James after last night's incident in Detroit. It is a story that everybody is talking about throughout the world of sports and especially in the NBA. And you know it's under discussion right now in the NBA offices. Let me set it up by letting you know that their next game, they played in Detroit. They're on the East Coast on a little bit of an East Coast swing. And they are playing at Madison Square Garden, one of LeBron's favorite places to play. And they're playing on national television on TNT. Does the league really suspend him? It was a closed fist. He swung backwards. Did he intend to hit Stewart in the face? Probably not. But still, closed fist, definitely trying to send a message. And it turned into an incident that was ugly for the NBA. And he got a flagrant 2, which means you're kicked out of the game and he will be fined for that. But Anthony Davis did talk about it after the game. And he felt like, as a team, we had to stick up for our guy.
What you mean you don't know what he's trying to do? Hell, you mean you don't know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get blood back. Protect my brother. Like, he was sitting there like he was Mr. Tough Guy. He wasn't trying to get Isaiah. What do you mean? Come on, man, this dude come out of a comic book, man. Listen, I know you got the unibrow, but you over there looking like Bert. Now, I know you got the unibrow like Bert, but don't be a character, man. What you mean? What are you doing? Like, the same thing. He was doing the same thing you was trying to do to Dwight Howard. Get some damn respect. On the sideline with your own teammate. The hell you talking about? You never seen nobody do that. I never seen nobody grab their teammate and push their teammate down while they standing over him, and you supposed to be damn teammates. So what the hell you talking about?
Let him know, Bart. Yeah, let him know.
The hell you talking about? This dude punched me in my – he basically punched me in my face and got away with it. If you get in a fight, you don't have a bloody eye. So, hell yeah, I was trying to get at LeBron so I can get that blood for back. A blood debt has to be paid only with blood.
He also tried to blame Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah tried to get physical with him.
Yeah, how am I getting physical? It's basketball. It's called a box out. What do you mean?
He held him. Let's get some more calls in here. How about Robert in New York? Come on, Robert. Robert? We're having that kind of day.
Yeah.
Andre in Brooklyn. Andre.
But his fist was closed. His hand was closed. How is it not malicious?
If
you're just trying to get somebody from hooking you, you smack their hand. You don't reach back there with a closed fist. That's basically a backhand punch. If it wasn't intended to hurt him.
Closing the fist was everything to me. When you watch that a couple of times, I watched it a couple of times, and when you see the fist close, like that, the first time I saw it was on my phone, iPhone. I was at the Knicks game last night, so I was covering that game, so I got the alert, and I looked at it, and on my phone, and I didn't notice it. I'm like, oh, he just threw his hand back. But then when you see it on a bigger TV and you see the hand, the closed fist, oh, no. Close your fist, that's it. That's it. We're done. Like, that's a game. That's at least a game.
For closed fist, say, okay, what if he didn't hit him in the eye? What if he hit him in the mouth and chipped his tooth if he didn't wear a mouthpiece?
Or what if he chipped his tooth.
I know what I'm saying. Or what if he would have missed and hit him in the throat? Like, whenever you throw back with it, hit anybody with closed fist, it's meant to do damage.
We'll keep this conversation rolling, but also this. Is it possible we could see our first coach of the season fired after Thanksgiving? Next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.